celebrating aircraft home building and innovation. This is EAA Radio.
Before we talk about next year, because everybody wants to know what's going to happen next year now that AirVenture 2010 is wrapping up, just spend just a few minutes about recapping or encapsulating the experience of this year.
Fareed, this has been a very unusual year for us, as I think everyone knows. Even in a normal year, the features and attractions, you know, there's always some chopping and changing depending on circumstances and whether airplanes have technical problems and things like that. But, you know, this year is we were certainly affected by the difficulties we had with weather, particularly the first two or three days of the event before aircraft operations normalized. I think, you know, looking back here on the final Saturday, we're really pleased with how it ended up in the end, because a week ago we were very concerned. It looked like we were potentially going to have a very badly affected event, but with great credit to all the volunteers and the staff and the pilots and the members that were so accepting of the changes, you know, we managed to, I think, get through it with a good solid list of attractions. I was out on Aeroshell Square last night and after the Gary Sinise concert, and I was just walking around looking at the aeroplanes, and I thought, wow, what an amazing collection of aircraft we've got sitting on the ramp here. Everything from the huge C-5 and all the modern military aircraft, the Osprey, etc. This amazing collection of prop liners representing the Douglas family, and the innovation with the Spyroid wingtip and the Ericsson Skycrane and the Global Hawk, etc. It was like, I was thinking, I used to run an air show in Scotland, and I was thinking, like, one of these aircraft would have been the star attraction at my air show in Scotland, and here we've got like 25 of them all in one place with the lights on them. And so, you know, things definitely got better for us through the week. If I look back and think, what do I regret? The DC-3 program was quite badly affected in the early part of the week. In some ways, I'm really pleased we were able to do what we've been able to do. I was as surprised as anyone to see a mass formation fly over on Monday. That was something that came together very, very late in proceedings, but it was wonderful to see it and sort of hear the rumble of the engines. And it was, I think at that point, it was very helpful for us to have 21 aircraft come all together, because we were able to park them. But that did really hamper the weather, really hampered our plans for the next day, when we'd hoped to get all of the DC-3s that were on site. I think we got about 35 in total. I haven't sat down and formally counted them all, but I think that's the number. And it meant that the maximum effort program that we'd planned for Tuesday was actually cancelled by the aircraft operations team. We just couldn't move aircraft around. We'd taken every square foot of hard standing on the airfield in order to just get aeroplanes in, but then to try and move them around and get them in position for what we had hoped to do, it just wasn't possible. But with that one disappointment aside, generally I think the rest of the program that we put together has gone off really well, and actually in quite good weather. You know, the main part of the week we've hardly had any rain at all.
You can move a bunch of RVs around and get them moved from one part of the airport to another, but a bunch of large DC-3s is another matter. But I think this reunion of round engines was wonderful. I stepped outside and I heard this low rumble. It was the DC-7. You knew right away that it was running. It was really enjoyable.
Every year, as well as the attractions that you've planned and that you know about, there are always things that come forth that were unplanned, or you never knew it was coming, or you never thought it was going to be that good or whatever. And I was really taken by the Jet Warbirds show that took place. I think it was Thursday. I don't get a lot of chance to watch the air show, but I just happened to have 30 minutes when that was going on, and I thought, wow, that was really special. The variety and rarity of the aircraft that were flying there was I haven't seen that in a long time. So that was a real nice surprise that sort of I perhaps wasn't anticipating at the beginning of the week. And there's always just great aeroplanes show up on the flight line that you didn't know were coming, and it's nice to wander around and see them all.
And that's a good reason to come to AirVenture. While there are things that are planned and celebrations and aircraft themes, There's always going to be a few things that will surprise you. One of the things that people are looking ahead to is the 100th anniversary of naval aviation. And is that going to be a central theme of next year?
Yeah. Our planning for our venture runs on about a 15-month cycle. So 3 months ahead of this year's event is usually when I start to pull together the first view of next year's event. Now, that being said, I have a file open in my email inbox. I have a file for every air venture up to 2015 right now. So as different opportunities and thoughts and suggestions are put my way, I kind of pop them in the files. But about 3 months ago, I dug out my 2011 file and started to assemble it into at least our first view of what next year will look like. And the Centennial of Naval Aviation is one thing that is definitely locked in as a theme for next year. We've been meeting with the US Navy for probably about a year now, and they're I think going to promote the Centennial of Naval Aviation in quite a big way next year, and we've been declared as one of their, they call it a tier one event, which is they've grouped different events into different categories, and that means we will receive maximum support from Navy assets for the event next year. And I think we think it's a good theme for Oshkosh in general, because anytime you can get something that can capture the history not just of airplanes but of people too. So if you think about the history of naval aviation, and we are talking here also about Marines and Coast Guard, they're formally part of this centennial. You can just think about the wonderful veterans that are going to come forth with stories to tell. I think one that will catch some attention if I talk about it is there is a chance that we could get a space shuttle to Oshkosh next year to land on piggyback on the 747. And I think anyone that just heard me say that would think that would be cool. The chance is really once in a lifetime, I think, because as your listeners will know, the shuttle program is being retired, and the plan is for the shuttle assets to be delivered to museums. So Oshkosh next year is in the window, as the plan exists right now, of when the shuttles will be delivered to the different museums around the country. And what we're hoping to do is to catch one of those delivery flights and have a week in Oshkosh. We've been working this for a couple of years, and we did do a sort of a study just to make sure it's possible. And that preliminary work did tell us that the runways could cope with it, and that our main runway is plenty long enough to be able to do it safely. I shouldn't overpromise this, because there would be lots of hurdles to clear from now till then. And I think with a program like this, there is always a risk that the dates will slip. There are some discussions that perhaps the shuttle program will be extended, or so there are many things that will occur. But maybe people will be interested to at least know we're trying, because the opportunity is so great that it would be one that you've got to give it a try.
Have the final museums been selected yet?
The final museums have not been announced yet, and I know there is very, very, what do I call it, strong competition between the different museums and facilities that would like to house a shuttle. And EAA isn't working with anyone in particular on this. I think we have talked to at least two, to my knowledge, of the locations, both of whom would like to work with us on this. But of course, we have to wait for due process to take its course and to find out what the final disposition plan is.
This year, we had discussions about electric aircraft. And what other maybe sub-themes are being considered for 2011?
Electric aircraft, I'm sure, will be a significant feature of AirVenture 2011. It's been a growing thing ever since Randall Fishman brought an electric-powered trike here. I think it was 3 years ago. It's grown in each year. And I think next year we'll definitely see quite a big step forward in the whole electric scene. The symposium we had yesterday, by the way, was really inspiring. We had the Eagle Hangar in the museum was full of people and a great energy there. And it's very clear that electric propulsion is it's not just the thing of the future, but potentially there are a lot of benefits to aviation from the reliability of the engines and the safety aspects and the quality of the flying experience that people are going to have. This is not just a technology play or an environmental green play. I was listening to the Sikorsky folks talking about, you know, the potential advantages of an electric powered helicopter are immense. So it's actually, you know, an exciting time for aviation, I think, because if you look back on the history of aviation, there have been certain sort of jumping points in aviation development. Maybe the last big one would be the jet engine or something. But electric propulsion could be really, really huge, and it's great for us to be at the heart of that. One of our slight disappointments this year was, even as close as 2 weeks ago, I was hoping to see certainly in excess of five different types of electric aeroplane flying here this year. But unfortunately, a couple of the organizations that were bringing two or three aeroplanes actually ran into certification difficulties. And
new designs will be here whether you plan for them or not, such as the Cobalt, which didn't fly but is a new design that a lot of people are anticipating. The Savor, which is a completed design and scratch build, is here for the AirVenture audience to see for the first time. It appeared at Copper State last year. So there always will be new designs to see here at AirVenture every year.
Let me talk about three aircraft that we had hoped that we would get to Oshkosh 2010, but for various reasons it didn't happen. But we had Fifi, of course, which the B-29, which ran into some last minute hiccups in terms of certification and things like that. I know the Commemorative Air Force and all of the volunteers and the restoration crews really wanted to get here this year and were disappointed not to. But I think that does mean there would be a very strong chance that Fifi will be here at Oshkosh next year. And I think I saw the CAF even announced that this week. A lot of people had hoped to see the Boeing 787 here this year, and that is something we worked very hard on. We pushed Boeing about as hard as we felt was appropriate this year to try and make that happen. As I think everyone knows, they've had a lot of delays and issues with the flight test program there, and they didn't feel it was something that they could fit in, despite getting it to Farnborough the week before Oshkosh. However, there is definitely a hunger. I get asked about it a lot. But there is a hunger from the American audience to see the American airliner here, particularly after the success of Airbus and the A380 last year. So hopefully we can see the 787 here at Oshkosh. And then finally, Virgin Galactic. And that's been a story that we've obviously followed through the EAA family for several years now, with Spaceship One and then the visit of White Knight 2 last year. So we're hoping that we will be able to see a visit from Spaceship 2 and White Knight 2 next year. Again, it fell at a very inconvenient time for Virgin Galactic this year in their flight test program. Coming to Oshkosh is, you know, for a company like that, is a very significant enterprise, and they have to take several weeks out of their program in order to do it. And it didn't work out this year, but we've already started discussing what may be possible next year. Can't really talk a lot about it, but there are some interesting possibilities about what may happen from a flight operations point of view there.
Well, we look forward to AirVenture 2011. You've tantalizingly thrown out a nugget there, and maybe get everybody talking around, and hopefully that will bring significant item, the space shuttle, for a visit on its way to its final place. Adam, thanks very much.
Thanks, Fareed.
Adam Smith is Vice President for Membership of EAA. You're listening to EAA Radio.